Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are on the listen-only mode. After today's presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question, please press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If anyone has objections, you may disconnect at this time. I'll now turn the conference over to Ms. Lisa Jensen. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Good day. Thank you for joining our IBM Security Talk, and I want to welcome you to Winning with Tivoli Key Lifecycle Manager for Encryption. Today's call is going to be with Gordon Arnold, Product Manager for Tivoli Key Lifecycle Manager, as well as myself, Lisa Jensen. I'm the Worldwide Channel Sales Manager for the Tivoli Security Solution. I want to start off with some housekeeping items. We are having some technical difficulties with our e-meeting today, and we're not able to get the e-meeting working properly. So I'd ask that if you could go to the email invitation that you got for this e-meeting and open up the presentation. The presentation is downloadable on PartnerWorld, and in the invitation, there's a link on PartnerWorld. If you're not able to find that email invitation, I ask that you email Sharon Feller, and Sharon's email is S as in Sam, F as in Frank, Feller, @us.ibm.com, or you can email Sarah Summers, S as in Sam, JCURRY, @us.ibm.com. Both Sarah and Sharon are on the call right now, and they'd be happy to email you a presentation, a copy of the presentation. So if you can't find it on PartnerWorld, reach out to them or same time them if you're internal on IBM, and we'll be happy to get you a presentation as soon as possible. We apologize for the technical difficulties. I also want to mention that the purpose of the IBM Security Talks is to give business partners and internal IBMers a better understanding of the cross-brand IBM security story, as well as drill down into specific IBM security products, including Tivoli Key Lifecycle Manager, which is what today's call is on, TAMI SSO, the single sign-on product, and VSP, Virtual Server Protection. TAMI SSO and VSP will be the subsequent calls, which will be the next two Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. So if we move to slide number three, the agenda slide, what we're going to cover today is an overview of the Tivoli Key Lifecycle Manager. We're going to talk about how to sell the Tivoli Key Lifecycle Manager. And then we're going to follow up with a Q&A, open discussion for business partners or internal IBM sellers. We move to slide number four. To give an overview on the Tivoli Key Lifecycle Manager, what is TKLM? TKLM is a simple, secure, and cost-effective key storage, key server serving, and key lifecycle management for IBM self-encrypting storage devices. By enabling effective encryption of data at rest, TKLM enhances data security and compliance management. Why sell TKLM? First of all, it's very easy to understand, sell, and implement. It has a short sales cycle, averaging 3 months or less. One thing that's not mentioned on this slide that's important for business partners is that TKLM is an open distribution, so that's very important for you to know. And TKLM sales are increasing year to year. And as shown on the pie chart to the right, you can see that in North America, TKLM has actually become the second best-selling security channels product today. So clearly, TKLM is becoming one of the top-selling products in the channels. So clearly, this should be a product that should be of interest to you if you're a business partner. And another reason why TKLM should be of interest if you're a Tivoli storage seller is it can easily be bundled with storage hardware and software sales. So if we look at what the value proposition is for TKLM, TKLM helps IT organizations better manage the encryption key lifecycle by enabling centralized and reliable key management processes. So that's a very high-level overview of what TKLM is. And at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Gordon Arnold, the product manager, to give you a more in-depth product overview. Gordon?
Thanks, Lisa. If we could turn to slide six. The business background here is that if you have a data loss, if you lose control over data at rest, either because of public disclosure laws, payment card industry data security standard, legal discovery requirements, and the civil rules of procedure changes, particular state laws that require encryption, European Union Privacy Directive, HIPAA, High-Tech Act, all those require you to protect personally identifiable information, information that could cause harm to your customers or your consumers. And the average data loss here is quite large. One of our customers that implemented TKLM and encryption for all data at rest last quarter actually experienced a break-in at an office, and they lost about $10 million, or cost them $10 million for 1 month to recover from that. And it turns out that to implement encryption for all their data at rest was about $5 million. So it just gives you an idea of the kind of bad risk equation there is in ignoring this problem and not doing anything about it, that you can lose far much more money or spend far much more money recovering from an incident than actually doing something about the incident or doing something about the risk. On slide 7, TKLM was sort of unique when it was first introduced, and the predecessor was EKM, because it did three things. It stored the keys safely. It transparently detected when storage needed keys and served them out to them. And then when we introduced TKLM, that's the big difference between EKM and TKLM, is we introduced a GUI with management, with key rotation, really all the kinds of management and ease of use around what was the basic key store and key serving that EKM was. And we really designed this so that it would fit into your existing server environment. So rather than creating some new appliance that had to be managed for DR, for failover, and the appliances start proliferating, which is really what was going wrong with acceptance of this kind of technology when we first introduced, you could put this on any server from your ZOS mainframe down to a virtualized server in VMware, for instance. And your choice of where to put it really was, where did you have your most highly available and secure servers? Slide 9 says, view the future encryption everywhere. It's not just IBM storage anymore. We're announcing or have announced support for the Brocade encrypting switch. In the middle there, you see switch encryption. We just had a press conference last week with Emulex. Emulex is putting encryption into their HBAs. You're going to see more and more announcements where encryption is being implemented everywhere in the infrastructure. And TKLM is supporting it because we're the first key manager to be shipping this new key management standard, the Key Management Interoperability Protocol out of OASIS, or KMIP for short. That's in the current shipping product, and we now have very significant adopters shipping storage devices that support that standard. But not all encryption is the same. And that's the point there at the top, that cryptography can be computationally intensive. In other words, it can use up too much CPU and cause performance problems. It's important to remember that encrypted data cannot be compressed or deduplicated. So while it is more secure to encrypt the data up at the host, you are going to disable compression and deduplication, which is why you see us supporting the DS5000, the DS8000, that kind of encryption of data at rest, where encryption is the last operation performed on the data. And scalability, it's a quite hard problem to be encrypting massive amounts of data without introducing latency, without introducing performance problems, unless you build the cryptography into the infrastructure with hardware assistance, unless you build it, for instance, into a disk drive itself. And so that's why for our offerings, for the IBM offerings, we've been leading with building in the encryption into the storage device itself. But now, from a key management perspective and from a customer choice perspective, you'll be able to also deploy encryption elsewhere in the infrastructure. Slide 7, I mean, this is, so I've just sort of explained that it's now no longer just IBM storage, and that encryption is going to be everywhere in, say, 2 to 5 years. All data at rest, I'm sure, will be encrypted in the next year or so, probably 50% of the data in customers will be encrypted. So you need a enterprise-wide strategy for key management. And our approach really has been to have this inexpensive, simple, easy-to-use software that can be deployed on a wide variety of operating systems, and that it is just something that you would monitor from an operations perspective rarely. One of our partners, for instance, calls this set it up and forget about it kind of key management. So it just... You install it in half an hour, 45 minutes. You configure it in an hour. You back it up. You save the backup. You clone it for high availability. But, you know, basically in an afternoon, you've got your key management up and running. And there's a lot of features for automatic client registration, for automatic assignment of keys, for automatic rotation of keys, such that it does not require operator intervention on any regular basis, that it just runs in the background without you doing anything to it. Slide 10 has a few more details of the lifecycle functions that I've just walked through, the notification, for instance, of when certificates are going to expire, the rotation of the use of new keys for new writes. But, you know, for version 2, which is what's now generally available on GA in August, I mentioned we're supporting this new key management interoperability protocol, and a couple of the partners that have announced support for that are listed there. We are also supporting role-based access control. This is interesting for larger customers that want to group devices and have different administrators for those devices, or to match the roles and permissions for doing key management or storage management to the roles and permissions in their organization. But this is also, for instance, with the announcement we did with Emulex, this will be very, very interesting for cloud or service provider deployments, because we'll be able to enforce access to the data storage area network by access to the keys, and you can have the credentials for accessing those keys, or the passwords are, it's stronger than passwords, but think of it as a user ID and password to log in and get access to the keys stored in the virtual machine. So we're solving some basic security problems with cloud and service providers, and so for larger enterprises, or for service providers, or telcos, or anybody that's providing a shared service, this will be interesting. We've also introduced even more new ease of use features. We had automatic registration. We had the ability to restrict that and force you to type in new devices. Now we've got something in the middle, a pending auto, so we can capture requests for new devices and allow the administrator just to accept them or not. And we also have more options for DR. So we have scripts for automating the backup and restore. We also have a new state for maintaining knowing whether or not a key has been backed up before we serve it to a device. So when you think about this, you really don't need to worry about what kind of encryption algorithms are involved or how the keys are actually being protected. Slide 11 really should be what you're focusing on top of mind when you're talking about encryption and key management with your customers. The first is, encryption should not affect performance. So it is quite possible, and we've had, you know, a couple thousand customers implement this stuff now, to put in encryption for the data at rest with no performance penalty. And in fact, you know, you don't want to have arguments between the storage group and the DBAs for databases, for instance, about performance. And in fact, you can introduce it with no observable performance problem. The second issue is you don't want the introduction of encryption to cause you to have to change every application, every operating system, every device driver, HCL on the mainframe. You should be able to introduce it without making any changes to the rest of the infrastructure. This is just isolated to the encryption as the bits are being laid down on the media. And the third point is that it should fit into the way you do business today. We shouldn't be forcing you to figure out some new way of doing disaster recovery, some new way of doing operations management, some new ongoing constant task that you have to worry about from an operations perspective. So the result of this is encryption going in with no performance, no ripple effect to the infrastructure, and fitting in with the way people manage their systems and storage and security today at a very reasonable cost. So how do you figure out whether or not a customer is going to be interested in this? How do you spot an opportunity on slide 12? So first of all, many customers actually have had an issue where they've lost a tape, Iron Mountain, not to pick on them, but some transport facility has lost it, or they realize that disk drives, when they go out for repair, actually, from IBM statistics, about 90% of those disk drives still have customer-readable data on them when they go and leave for repair. So they may be broken from a write perspective, or they may be producing soft errors, which cause them to have a service call and get repaired, but the fact is they still have readable data on them. And if you take them and say, well, I'm going to go shred them, that's extra cost. And again, it's like a tape falling off the back of the truck. The disks may get lost or stolen on the way to the shredding facility. So that's one opportunity, is if there's an actual breach or if people are worried about a breach. The second opportunity is if they're replacing storage or adding additional storage, they should be considering adding storage with encryption built into it. So it is not that much more expensive to include encryption with the storage purchase, and in most cases it's sort of rounding error on the hardware deal. So why not set up the customer for the future-proofing them to say, I'm not only going to give you good storage at a good price, but I'm going to include this built-in security mechanism, which isn't going to cause you any downside, but is like the cheapest insurance you could get against all these risks. The third opportunity is really when you look at, for instance, retail operations with a payment card industry data security standard or privacy disclosure laws, a lot of very sensitive data sitting in insecure environments now. So if I have a retail operation or a remote office, there may be very sensitive data sitting on those disk drives, which is why we're now supporting the DS5000 as well as the DS8000, because that may be more likely that you have mid-range or low-end storage out in those remote offices. And that example I cited earlier of $10 million in a single month for a regional insurance company came from this kind of environment where there was a remote office and there was a break-in and equipment was stolen. Industry compliance, certainly there's a cost to compliance. There's a cost to demonstrating to the auditors that you are in compliance. and using encryption and standards-based key management set you up for that kind of compliance. There are presentations in the resources, for instance, on the details of payment card industry data security standard and how our storage and TTLN meet those standards. Just from a cost perspective, having to deal with shredding disks and the complexity of dealing with shredding or destroying storage when it's going out of service or going for repair also helps build the economic case for why you build the security into the storage from the beginning. The civil rules of procedure changes that occurred in December of 2008 mean that electronic data is treated the same way as paper data from a legal discovery request. The average legal discovery request can be $1 million just to prepare the evidence for that legal discovery request. But one of the things that our customers do with encryption is actually use it as a means to cryptographically erase data. So if I have a box of tapes that gets lost or a tape cartridge that gets lost and then shows up later on, I'm not held in contempt of court because I've actually gone and deleted the keys and that data is no longer readable, so I have a good position for a legal discovery request that I can restrict the scope of that legal discovery request to the data that I'm still explicitly maintaining instead of having to do a physical inventory of any and all storage or tape cartridges that may be available. And then from an information security concern, I know people sort of think, well, gee, it's just a rated disk, Gordon, how much data can they get off that? Or, gee, it's just a backup. But you have to remember that even with a rated disk, for a backup, you still have a block size of 4K. On average, the block 4K can contain a lot of social security numbers or a lot of credit card numbers. And how do you prove to auditors what data was stolen and what wasn't if you've lost that disk? We're not talking about teenage kids hacking. We're talking about sophisticated criminal organizations that know what a backup format is, know what a rated format is, know what disk striping formats are, and so they're going to be able to harvest information off of disk despite the fact that it may be striped or rated, and all of that is obviously a concern. Slide 13, so why are customers buying this now? Why are we seeing a growth of 40% approximately, quarter to quarter, for encryption and key management? For one thing, and you may have seen analyst briefings in the last few weeks, with the arrival of this KMIP standard, now customers are going to realize that encryption being built into all these various components, and then now there's a standards-based way of tying those devices together, it's not going to be a case where a vendor is going to have a proprietary lock-in. They're going to be able to have a choice of key managers. They're going to be able to have a choice of encryption technologies and devices. So it's finally going to be safe in any of the mainstream buyers' minds to go in here and do this. We've been doing encryption, for instance, in tape devices now for over 4 years. It's no longer a mysterious technology. It's proven, and we see it as a must-have going forward. So we think, in years ahead, it'll be a quaint idea that you stored data that wasn't encrypted, and all the regulations and standards are moving in that direction. Importantly, from a sales cycle and a customer satisfaction cycle, this is very simple and easy to install. As I said, it shouldn't take more than an afternoon to get up and running. There's simple wizards that guide you through the steps. And it does run on virtual machines. So, in fact, I demonstrated running in a virtual machine on my MacBook. And it's possible during the get one of your folks trained with this running on a laptop to use as a demo system. Our experience is that it's a very short sales cycle. And if you look at the pricing of the product, it's very economical. Again, it's sort of rounding error on the larger hardware deal. Very deliberately priced to be just a small incremental, and I say small in the 5 to 10% range, increment on the cost of the storage for the encryption and the key management. But I've told you why it's so simple and easy, but I should also point out that it's a big opportunity for the business partners because while it is so simple and easy and it's so robust, very, very, very low problem rate in the field. We've had three patch releases in 2 years of operation, and that was mostly because of changes for Microsoft operating systems. We supported newer versions of Microsoft operating systems. It is very important. If you lose the keys, you lose the data. It's not like you locked yourself out of your car. It's like you've taken your car and driven it into the Hudson River. There is no recovery of the data if you lose your keys. So from a trusted advisor, from a business partner relationship with a customer, this gives you a chance to surround the simple and easy-to-use product with your services, your advice, and your assistance, because it is very easy to make backups. It's very easy to have backups and to replicate it, and the storage automatically fails over to have high availability. But it is an important responsibility. Because if the data is encrypted and you lose the keys, they will no longer have access to the data. So while it's fairly simple to avoid that, and there are many options for avoiding that situation, still, from your perspective as a business partner, you can be a trusted advisor to keep customers from having these kinds of problems. And I must say that, you know, in the field, we haven't seen problem that I'm warning you about. It's just it is an opportunity for you to surround the product with some services. Lisa, did you want me to turn it over to you now or continue on for a few more slides?
Gordon, what slide are you on?
I'm now on slide 14, more on selling the Blue Key Lifecycle Manager.
You can keep going. You can turn it on slide 21.
Okay, so how can TTLM complement Tivoli Storage Manager? So Tivoli Storage Manager basically is going to read and write the data independently of any of the encryption, and the key management is handled by the tape library with library-managed encryption and the transparent feature code in LTO4, for instance, communicating and asking for the keys. Now, why does this make sense? So, A, you've got the key management separate from the backup program, and because of the changes in backup technology, going to application snapshotting, going to combinations of different technologies for different applications, you may have a different backup strategy for your email system versus your database system. You'd really like to have the key management separated out to give you the flexibility to upgrade backup technologies as you need to. But also, from a security perspective, you want the least number of people actually touching the keys and a good separation of duties between those that are backup administrators and those that are managing the keys, if for no other reason than just to minimize the paperwork that you have to fill out. Slide 16 on pricing and packaging. So the price is when you install a server, you get a server and a warm backup for $3,000. And that it doesn't depend upon the size of the server, not processor value unit. It's just per install. And then basically we measure the encrypting device capacity. So on a tape, in a tape system, uncompressed tapes, the vast majority of ones that we sell are about 1 terabyte of uncompressed tape device capacity. And for disk, we measure the usable terabytes of disk. So think of it as terabytes managed. And there's this VUE 27 table that's built into the AAS eConfig or into Passport Advantage to calculate between terabytes managed and what are called resource value units. You see there on the slide it says there's a predefined volume discount. So as you add more terabytes of management under management, you get a better and better price because you translate to fewer and fewer resource value units. So from 1 to 12, it's a 1 to 1 correspondence, but after quantity 12, it starts discounting and it gets up to 70%. So the smallest deals may be just in the $5,000 to $10,000 range, but some of the larger deals now that are going through are actually in the $100,000-plus range for very large customers. You know, how does this compare against the competition? So the competition has a more brittle architecture where they generate keys on the fly. They require multiple appliances to be replicating real-time to each other. They only sell it as an appliance. And so generally those are $20,000 to $30,000 per appliance, and you need at least two of them. And if you're going to have DR in multiple sites, it may be that you need four of them. So the costs add up very quickly. Plus, they have limitations on the total number of devices that a single appliance can support, where because of the each serving architecture we have customers with hundreds of tape drives being served by an instance of TKLM, and because of the intelligence in the storage devices, they can automatically fail over between key managers. So you get a more robust offering, actually with better security, for a cheaper price by going with our product. So what are the competitive differentiators? So if you're up against Oracle Sun or Computer Associates, there are competitors that would have you do, for instance, database encryption by altering the database to include encryption, or putting in file system level encryption. All the database encryption or the file system level encryption are all going to have performance impact. They're going to cause you to have to change all your applications and change all your servers. And they'll be more expensive and harder to use. I mean, it's one reason why, from a competitor perspective, you'll see the competitors talking about doing data classification and only encrypting the data you need to. Well, that's because they can't encrypt all the data because it would kill your performance. But the reality is, if you try to figure out what data to encrypt and what not to encrypt, you're going to inevitably leave out data that should have been encrypted and then find yourself in trouble because the data you thought should have been encrypted wasn't encrypted, and now you've paid for all this expense, but you've still got a disclosure or a security problem. Slide 18. So the value proposition here is centralizing and automating all of the encryption key management for IBM and now non-IBM encryption solutions. You're lowering your operations costs because of the automation. and you're simplifying this with a simple-to-use GUI. So, in, well, ECAM is out there. In many cases, it's actually out of support, but I mean, that was the major complaint against that, that it was command-line, didn't have a GUI, and it was hard to set up and use. We have integration with TSIEM, with TKLM now, so it can consume the audit logs that we produce, and then that can produce legal-ready kinds of compliance reporting. And we really are the leader in adopting multiple standards in this regard, not only AMIP that I mentioned before, but we're also supporting the security protocol in and out, the T10 standard for SCSI, as well as, you know, FIPS certification for our software, et cetera, et cetera. So we're really deeply committed to this open standards and giving customers choices in that regard. So slide 19. So we do have many, many customers in the small and medium business, but we also probably have 90% of the largest financial sector customers running this in production. So if you're looking at your customer set, you want to target financial services, government, insurance, and healthcare. We do have, though, customers across the board and across a wide set of segments, but if you're looking at fourth quarter business, where do I target the set of messages? Who should I go talk to in the next couple of weeks in order to close something before the end of the quarter? Those sectors are what you would target. You can come into this either via a storage purchase, so they're going in and buying more storage or considering replacing storage, or you could come at it from a security perspective. So if someone's the chief security officer or chief information security officer, you can talk to the risk portfolio, their risk, and have them realize that they should be recommending encryption for all data at rest. There are existing customers that have bought encryption-capable storage hardware, in particular, many customers with self-encrypting tape systems that may or may not have TKLM at this point. They may be running the predecessor EKM. What they may not realize is that is going away soon. It's not going to be in the next Java distribution. And in fact, it's out of support for all non-IBM operating systems. So there's a surprising number of customers that are basically out of support right now that should be upgrading to TKLM, and they may not know that. Or they may have bought the encryption-capable hardware but not turned on the encryption. Again, those are good target customers to go call and they could add this simple bit of inexpensive software to turn on encryption for the hardware they already have. So slide 20, just, you know, the customers are doubling their data every 18 months or so. 40 to 50% growth rates are common. Data at rest, you know, all data that's written to media at some point becomes data in motion. And by doing massive encryption with self-encrypting storage, you're covering a lot of risk and a lot of the concerns that customers have. So it's not a substitute for identity and access control, for instance, or all the other layers of security, but it's the simplest, most comprehensive way of removing a number of risks from a customer environment. Data breaches, legal discovery requests are very expensive. The costs that are listed there are around $200 per record are just direct costs. That's not loss of reputation or anything else indirect. Those are just informing the consumer or your customer that you've lost their data and giving them, for instance, identity protection counseling. Data disposal or storage destruction, shredding, is expensive. and often ineffective because when humans are involved, mistakes are made. And in the past, you know, customers may have looked at encryption and said, oh, gee, it's too expensive, it's too complicated, it's too proprietary. So the message now should be it's not expensive, it is not complicated, and it's no longer proprietary. We have, you know, for the first time in 30 years or so, a encryption key management standard that's been endorsed by about 30 of the largest companies in this space. With that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Lisa.
Thank you, Gordon. Excellent overview. So if you could all turn to slide number 22, what I'm going to do now is go over some of the resources we have available for you, and in particular resources for TKLM. So on slide number 22, what I have here is a screenshot of the Tivoli Knowledge Center along with a link to this resource. The Tivoli Knowledge Center is really where you can find the bulk of your resources for the Tivoli security products. And if you look at this page, in particular, in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see a blue-colored menu. In addition to the quick links, you'll see links for marketing, selling, and technical, and you'll also see links to training and certification. So in all these links, you'll see important information about all of the Tivoli security products as it relates to marketing, collateral, sales information, technical, sales, and training certification information. You'll also see as you move down the page Tivoli resources by product groups. And what you're interested in focusing on for the purpose of today's webinar is security. So the four groups that we have within the Tivoli Knowledge Center, the area that we're focusing on is security. If you move to the next slide, slide number 23, what we have here is a link to the sales kit for the IBM Tivoli Key Lifecycle sales kit. And what you'll find here is all of the resources you'll need as you go through the sales lifecycle for a sale of TKLM. So you'll see a lot of different information when you click on this link to the sales kit of everything you'll need as you progress through a sale of TKLM. So there's abundance of information here, so I strongly encourage you to take a look at this and see all of the different pieces of information you have available, collateral, demos, data sheets, technical information. You'll see everything you need as you progress through a sale. Moving to slide number 24. On slide number 24, again, some more information on TKLM specifically. We have a link to the data sheet. We have a white paper, Simplifying Key Management with Tivoli Key Lifecycle Manager. We have a news article, another white paper, and then we have links on the web to the STG launch pages and the TKLM product pages. And then we have two demos available for you that you can click on for additional information on TKLM. And then moving to slide number 25, this is not specific to TKLM, but I did want to remind all of our business partners and the IBMers on the call that Pulse is coming up. I know February seems far away, but February is going to be coming up before you know it. I want to make sure you are aware that this event is in Las Vegas, and it's going to be held from February 27th to March 2nd. And the call for papers is now open, so I want to make sure you submit a nomination with your customer for consideration now. And there's also many sponsorship opportunities available, as well as business partner awards. So we'll be making sure that we send out an email, and I think I've done that already to many of our business partners. So make sure you nominate yourselves for one of these exciting categories. And then I want to make sure that all the business partners are aware that the annual Business Partner Summit will be held on Sunday, February 27th. And again, we'll be discussing our strategy and direction. And we'll also be discussing how you can sell into the broader product portfolio, and you'll have the opportunity to engage and leverage with IBM executives and subject matter experts around Tivoli security. So please take advantage of the early bird specials we have on this. take advantage of nominating yourselves for Business Partner Awards, and make sure you take advantage of attending the Business Partner Summit on Sunday, February 27th. So moving to slide number 26, IBM Key Contacts. I have a number of key contacts here for you. Donna Jones, she's our North American Tivoli BAD Business Development Manager. I have her email for you. Tom Benjamin, Tivoli Security Software Manager. Mike Gong is our Tivoli Security Architect for TKLM. We've got Sharon Feller, who's on the call with us today. She's the Worldwide Tivoli BAD Development Executive. And then, of course, Gordon and myself are on the call with you. And then we've got Vivian Gawecki, the Worldwide Tivoli Channel Marketing Manager for Tivoli Security, also available. And we've listed everybody's email on this slide, so feel free to reach out to anybody with any particular questions you have. And we did get a number of questions come in via email from business partners and some of our distributors. A number of the questions were related to some of the things that Gordon already talked about. A number of questions around average deal size, software-to-service ratios, people asking about average sales cycle examples. Where should you look for opportunities? What sales and technical skills are needed? Because there was such a number of detailed questions, what we thought would be best would be to actually create a Q&A and add it to this presentation and update the presentation on Partner World. So what we're going to do is we're actually going to put the questions down, put the answers to the questions, and update the presentation on Partner World for you, and then send you out an email notification. So in addition to answering your questions, hopefully next in the Q&A session, we'll also be updating this presentation with a detailed Q&A section. And then again, feel free to reach out to any of the contacts, including Gordon, obviously our subject matter expert on TKLM, or myself on this product. So that wraps up the presentation portion of this presentation, and I'm moving to slide number 27. So, operator, I'd like to open up the presentation for any questions now.
Thank you. At this time, we are ready to begin the formal question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. You will be announced prior to asking your question. To withdraw your question, you may press star 2. At this time, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. I am not showing any questions at this time.
Okay, thank you. So I did want to answer one question that I got via email, and I think I did mention it at the beginning. Is this product set an open or authorized distribution or mixed? I just want to clarify again, this product is in open distribution. So for the storage partners that don't have the security certifications, the storage partners are able to sell TKLM because it is an open distribution. So I did want to clarify that. So once again, I want to thank you for joining this IBM Security Talk on TKLM, and we look forward to joining us next week for our IBM Security Talk on TAMESSO, and that will be Thursday, November 11th at 11 a.m. Eastern. Thank you very much.